I'm going to talk to you today about overcoming adversity in the context of Rosh Hashanah. And as we all know, sometimes the world events happen in such a way. Sometimes world events happen in such a way that you really think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just wants us to daven. You know, how could it be anything other than that the President of the United States says, you know, we might start a war in the Middle East, but we're going to do it right after Rosh Hashanah. You know, he didn't say it in that way, but that's exactly what he said. So, you know, between now and next week, next Monday, you know, we'll decide to make our decision. What's between now and next Monday? It just so happened it's Rosh Hashanah. So, coincidence? Not in the glasses that I see. That, geopolitical events, the way that the Ribbono Shel Olam leads things. So we have what to daven for. Yeah.
I'm
sorry. Aseret Yemei Tshuva is Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Yom Hadin is Yom Hadin. Coincidence? You could say, but you know. We have what to daven for. We have what to daven for specifically on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so we all have our unique adversities. I just want to share with you. I saw an article in the New Yorker that I was reading about this guy named Albert O. Hirschman, and he is an economist in the middle of the 20th century. And his basic theory, the way I understand it, you can be happy to lend this to you. His understanding was that when we face adversity, adversity is what makes us better people. Meaning, if you plan something and everything goes exactly as it was planned, you do exactly what you were going to do, that's fine. But when something comes up that throws a monkey wrench in your plans, and you have to throw out everything you were going to do and do it in an entirely different way, so that's when you learn how to do new things. That's when you grow. Very often, companies or institutions or organizations that are thrown as used monkey wrench, and it's either change and adapt or die, that adaptation is what provides to them the basis for incredible growth later on. Like, oh, we would never have done it that way, but you know what I'm saying? So sometimes adversity is what, not sometimes, I think I really resonated with this idea because adversity very often, so often, makes us better people, makes us different people, and it forces us to readjust, to find new ways around, to resolve challenges in different ways. And that different way, it makes you a different person. And opens up a new door. And the thing that you never would have thought I could do, and now this is who I am, makes you a different person. And thank God. And now, my new career, or my new job, or my new parenting technique, or whatever, because the old one wasn't working, somehow has opened up a new avenue. And so I thought that was a good introduction. You can read this later if you want. It's a very fascinating article. I thought it was a good introduction for the topic that I'm going to do today, which is in honor of Rosh Hashanah, the Akedah Yitzchak. I'm just going to do a small piece of it. And I'll share with you that much of what I'm going to say, a good chunk, is from Rav Nachshoni's Sefer. And if you don't have it in Hebrew, it appears in English. You can also buy it in English. And it's a wonderful book, wonderful, wonderful study of Chumash. We use it more often. Called Hagut B'Parashot Parshiyot HaTorah, Studies in the Parsha. Okay, it's just tremendous stuff. Okay, and so we're going to start from the Akedah. And the reason we're going to start from the Akedah is for a very, very, very simple reason. I want a machzor. The Akedah represents a fundamental theme that runs throughout Tefillot, primarily of Rosh Hashanah, but also in Yom Kippur, Aseret Yemei Tshuva. I'll just give you a couple of examples. Okay, we all know that the themes of the Musaf on Rosh Hashanah are Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. Malchiot, we anoint God as the King of the world. Zichronot, remembrances, memory, and Shofarot.
Sorry, what are we supposed to remember?
No, you're not supposed to remember.
Supposed to
we ask God to remember. Okay. So what we essentially say is, you remember, okay, etc., etc. Elokeinu v'avoteinu, and there's always the upshot at the end, Zachreinu b'zikaron tov lefanecha. Remember us in your good memory. See, what's interesting is, I've been thinking about this recently, especially in the light of Rosh Hashanah. I like to think that I've been blessed with a terrible memory. And I'll explain what I mean. On the one hand, it doesn't make for good learning, because you often forget things that you really wish you remember. But having a great memory is also a curse too, because painful things, if you have a good memory, then you remember the bad as well as the good. So I will. Remember the good. I will say very sometimes. You know when you make that, like, you just do something stupid or foolish or wrong, and you feel terrible about it, and it eats at you, and that's a good thing. But I will sometimes take solace in the fact that in 2 days I'll be fine, because I will. What? You know what I'm saying? That it's not that I didn't do it, but it's not like, it's not at the front of my mind. It's not in the forefront of my conscience. And I'll be able to move on, and hopefully I'll change. But now I come back to Rosh, I come to Rosh Hashanah, and I have this terrible problem. You're supposed to go through the year and say, you know, what you did bad and what you did good. And I don't really remember. You know what I'm saying? What do you remember? Anybody remember what they did on November 3rd last year? Or like any, give me some, like, you know, what was the major event of your family in November? So if you had a bar mitzvah in November, you probably remember. But if you didn't, November before Hanukkah. What? If you have a diary, it's great.
You have a diary.
But I was thinking of going back and checking my emails. What? You mind? You could check? Oh, you mean, oh, it's in British? You meant your, in America, an American diary is like when you write your innermost thoughts in. Oh, you were just checking your calendar. Okay. I was like, wow. You should just know that they said about Carnegie, about, what's his name, Andrew Carnegie, that he kept a diary. And one of the great secrets of business success was he kept a diary, and every week, at the end of the week, he would shut himself up and read his diary and go over the week and think about what mistakes he had made and what he would change. So it's not just a lady thing. Anyway, so this idea of when God remembers, God's memory is not like our memory. We have what we would call short-term memory and long-term memory. Short-term memory is, I remember what I did last night, and I really wish I had finished the daf, because now I have to make up the daf. That's short-term memory. Long-term memory is stuff I store away that I want to recall. But for the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's all one. There is no difference between short-term memory and long-term memory. It's all in front of him. Right? So, what? Perfect recall. It's not perfect recall. It's there. It's not that he has to recall. It's all... There's no memory, right? It's all right there.
You are everything you've ever done.
Correct. We are everything we've ever done. The Bnei Israel, the Jewish people, are everything we've ever done. The world is everything we've ever done. So, if God, so you have this.
But then all the things that you ask for forgiveness for,
yeah,
still there.
Of course they're there, unless you've repented and removed them and gotten them erased. Okay, so that's a good thing to remember. That's a good thing to remember. So. In essence, we're asking when we say, okay, Zachrenu b'zikaron tov lefanecha. It's all there. So, of course, if it's all there,
how can you ask him?
We can ask to pick, to put preference on the zikaron tov. Because we all choose what we want to focus on. Kaviyachol. So there's good and there's bad. So remember the good. Okay, therefore, upakteinu b'pekudah, I'm reading from Musaf. Upakdeinu bipkudat yeshua v'rachamim mishmei shmei kedem, and redeem us with compassion. Okay? Uzcharlanu Hashem Elokeinu et habrit v'et hachesed v'et hashvu'ah. Remember the covenant, the kindness, the oath. Asher nishbata la'avraham avinu b'har ha-Moriah. That which you promised, you swore to Avraham. V'teira'e lefanecha akeda she'akad Avraham avinu et Yitzchak b'no al gabei mizbeach. And you should see, meaning, because God, it's not like we remember and we're playing it back in our minds. It's right there. It's happening right now in front of God's eyes. Okay? He sees it. So see that. It's happening right now. The kavash rachamav, latzod v'tzoncha, b'levav shalem. He overcame his, he withheld his compassion to do your will. Kei yichbashu rachamecha et kascha me'aleinu. So too you should overcome, you should, your compassion should overcome your wrath, as it were, and you should do good with us, etc., etc., etc. Okay, in the middle of Zichronot, and we go back to the bracha again. It's not enough that we just say it, you know what I'm saying? We say God, and in the lead up to the end of the bracha, we mention the Akedah, and then we go back to it. Ki zocher kol hanishkachot atahu me'olam. You remember everything that was forgotten, meaning you don't forget anything. Perfect recall. There is no forgetting before your great throne, your throne of glory. But the last words we say before we make the bracha, Va'akedat Yitzchak lezero hayom berachamim tizkor. Remember Akedat Yitzchak for your children in compassion. You know, that's the end. That's the last thing we say. This is Akedat Yitzchak. In this bracha, Zocher Habrit. And that's not the only time we remember Akedat Yitzchak. That's the whatever. Why do we blow a shofar? Why do we blow a shofar? What's one of the reasons why it says we blow a shofar? Right. Why do we blow? What kind of shofar do we blow? We blow a shofar shel ayil. Why do we blow a shofar shel ayil? Akedat Yitzchak. You might not know this, those of you who don't come to Slichot early in the morning. During Aseret Yimei Tshuva, there's extended Slichot. In the extended Slichot, there are different kinds of Slichot. So there's an opening, there's a Pticha, then there's a Pizmon, then there's something called the Shalmonit, like in different kinds of verses. Then a pizmon is the refrain, back and forth. There's all these fun kinds of things. Every single one has, in Aseret Yimei Tshuva, Akedah. And then there's some poetry that we recite in Slichot, in archaic language that nobody understands, about the Akedah. Az behar mor dat yonat elem. I can't even translate for you. Then, behar mor, on the mountain of whatever, Bekachto Eitan olam ola shalem. When Eitan, your reliable one, took an ola shalem. Ge'e bechano kach nazeh elem. Shuma l'Hashem Kodesh. The Akedah, we mentioned it during this time of the year over and over and over again. It's intertwined into the liturgy. It's part and parcel of what we say. So if that's true, then we probably should understand it. We should know, why do we invoke it so often? What is the significance of it? So as is our custom, of course, we're going to do it through our study of the Chumash, just, you know, some minor details. And hopefully that will come to bring us a better understanding. The Akedah is so unbelievable because it's all over the place, as we'll see. It's going to give us a little bit of a sense of who we are as a people, some points for improvement as individuals, and hopefully a sense of positiveness for the future as we enter into Rosh Hashanah as well. All that in the next 40 minutes or less. Yay. Okay, so open your Chumash to Perek Chaf Bet in Bereshit. Bereshit Perek Chaf Bet, chapter 22. By the way, anybody want to guess what the Torah reading on the second day of Rosh Hashanah is? Okay, yeah, good guess. Okay. These aren't just coincidences. This is the Chazal designed it as such. Chaf Bet. Tfilat Chana.
The second day is
Aleph. Perek Chaf Bet, Pasuk Aleph. Vayhi, which one?
Second
day,
it's
right down the bottom. Oh. You want to do it next week? You want to do it next week? Vayhi achar hadvarim ha'ela. And it was after these events. Vaha Elohim nisa et Avraham. And God, we're obviously going to spend a lot of time on this word. Nisa et Avraham. Okay? That's what you got? Tested?
Did prove.
Anyone else have any other English translation? Do all your Artscrollians have tested? God tested Abraham. Vayomer elav Avraham, and he said, Avraham, vayomer hineni. Here I am. I heard a talk yesterday. The key word in Jewish life is hineni. Here I am. I'm ready to do my part. But of course, we have two fundamental questions when we come to the first pasuk in the Akedah. The first question is, anybody? Anyone?
Why?
What?
Why?
Oh, that wasn't even my question. Of course, what was the purpose of Akedat Yitzchak? But it's all that is clued into. Well, we don't just do theology or philosophy. We study text. What's our textual? We have two textual based questions, and we'll all be included, by the way, in the answer Rina's question as well.
They say Abraham.
What? That's question number one. Why is this connected to the thing that happened before? It just sticks out at you.
And why is the answer Hineni?
Well, Abraham said Hineni. That's great.
I'm saying, why was that the answer?
Vayomer Elav, and he said to him, Vayomer Elav Avraham. Vayomer Hineni. It's a very strange thing, by the way. It's a very, very strange
interjection.
Correct. Well, normally, you would skip this whole pasuk. Okay. The way Ayeka is, where are you? That was in the Garden of Eden. Right, Ayeka. There's an unbelievable piece of from a cook about that. Ask me later. Okay.
It's what it says in the news.
Hideni. We are here. Very nice. If I was writing it, which I'm not, obviously, if we were writing this, how would the psukim read? We would read as follows. Va'alohim nisat Avraham. And God tested Avraham. Vayomer kachna et bincha. How did God test Avraham? He told him what to do. The whole Vayomer elav Avraham. Vayomer hineni. We've discussed before. Like when I say, oh, I called Laura on the phone. Really? What'd you talk about? Well, we discussed blah, blah, blah. Imagine this conversation. Oh, I called out Laura on the phone. Really? What'd you talk about? I said, hello? And she said, hello? Laura? Yeah? Blah, 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 blah. We normally skip the first stuff because it doesn't matter. It's the pleasantries before. Vayomer elav Avraham, what? You know, like, why do we need to know that stuff? Very nice. That's a very beautiful interpretation. I think that's absolutely true. The essence of the Akedah is exactly that. God calls Avraham, and Avraham says, Hineni, here I am. That's the most fitting introduction. That the things that we normally take for granted, as assumed, are the essence of what Avraham was. Right, so this is what we're saying is that this is a literary device as an introduction to show us the essence of the story that we're going to read. I mean, that God calls Avraham and Avraham's answer is, whatever it is. And we're going to see that plays itself out through the story. But Hineni is the essence. You know, and later we're going to see, I think we have discussed this before, Hineni shows up later on as well. Right, between Avraham and Yitzchak. Hineni bini, and then later on when the malach comes and says to him not to do it, we're not going to get that far. We're going to get two psukim in. That's as far as we're going to get.
Emphasize maybe this amazing conversation that God has with Abraham again. Like, we don't, hi, how are you? That's how they spoke, and God spoke to Abraham like that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
and it's amazing.
Okay, I didn't think of that. Also good, yeah. We have a group. Are you a member of the Facebook group? You're a member of the Facebook group? Because you could share the article if you want on the group. So share it on the group.
Okay.
So people can read it.
Yeah.
Okay? What does it mean, Vayelech? So we asked the first question. Vayehi achar dvarim ha'ila. After what? Why is this connected to what happened before? And then what is the word, all of the mefarshim, every single one, focuses on what does the word nisa mean? There's a fundamental problem with the word nisa. If you translate it as to mean tested, what's the problem? Right. When you give a test, when Rina tests her students, she gives a test in order to find out, to evaluate where they are. So that therefore then she can place them in the right classroom. But the problem is, as we all know, God knows the future. So what's the point of giving a test if you already know the outcome of the results? We're going to see a bunch of answers. We're going to see the Ibn Ezra. We're going to do a long Ibn Ezra. I'm presenting the question. So the first thing we have to do is read. Do you guys have Well, I'll do it in Rashi. Rashi says, Achar hadvarim ha'ilu. We're going to do Rashi, and then we're going to do Rashbam. Rashbam is shocking. Achar hadvarim ha'ilu. Yesh me'rabotenu omrim. Some say, what do you mean achar hadvarim ha'ilu? This is total drash. Achar dvarav shel satan. There's a conversation that's missing. Conversation between God and the Satan. Shayama katreg ve'omer. The Satan was having a conversation with God, and God says...
He wasn't having a conversation. He was mekatreg.
How do you translate mekatreg? Accusing. It means literally accusing. Mikol suuda sha'asa Avraham, lo yikvi lefanecha par echadu ayal echad. Avraham made this big suuda. Why did he make a big suuda? Yitzhak was born. He had a great party. He's so proud of his son. He did a brit milah. U-la-di-da-di-da-di-da. They ate a lot. What did he give to you?
So this whole thing happened because there's a boyger.
What's that?
There's a family.
The Satan is saying to God, Abraham had a party and he didn't give anything. This is why we do small bar mitzvahs here. Okay, Amar lo. Okay. So he said to him, that was for you, Tim. Klum asa ela. Oh, sorry. Klum asa ela bishvil beno. He only did it for his son. Ela hayiti om ilu hayiti omer lo zvach oto lefanai lo hayama akev. If I said to him, offer up that son, the one that he did it for his son, he wouldn't step for a minute. And so God said,
Satan saying he didn't offer you any animals. And
right.
He's saying, what do you mean animals? If I asked him for the son himself, he would give it.
And the Satan said, really? Why don't you try that? And God said, you know what? I think I will. Abraham.
It's really weird.
Anybody want to give an offer and suggest what to do with that, Rashi? What? It's drash, total drash. Rashi gives that as the first answer.
It's really weird.
God is not susceptible to the teasings of the Satan. I mean,
first of all, why do we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah?
Right.
Why?
Why?
Lekatreg et ha-Satan, to trick the Satan. Now let's. We live in an era of reason where we totally reject this notion of the Satan. But let's go back a little bit more than 150 years, right? And Jews from that point beforehand, or all the way back,
right. They
were very into the Satan.
No, but the idea of the Satan speaking to Hashem is one thing, the Satan speaks to man, but the idea of the Satan tormenting Hashem, that's what's weird.
Hassan, the Satan accuses, right? There's a Satan, there's a Mekatreg, and who's the other guy who defends us? The Sanegor and the Kategor. This is in our tefillah as well. I'm sure if I thought about it for a second, I'll find you the Sanegor and the Kategor. And you know, La Brit Abed Val Tefen the Yetzer. What?
Why does Hashem have to prove himself to Satan?
He doesn't have to prove himself.
He has
to prove Avraham. The Satan is saying, God is like, you guys have got to see my Avraham. He's unbelievable, Avraham. You know what I'm saying? Oh, he's like in Shemayim, and he's just quelling about Avraham to all the angels. And the Satan, his job is to say, yeah, he's okay. Oh, he's great. He's unbelievable. And he said, where's the korban? I mean, he made this big party, but where's the korban? It's, you know? And God said, no, it was for me.
For his son.
It was for Yitzchak. And the Satan said, yeah, how do you know? You know.
So, but why does Hashem have to take the bait? He doesn't have to count out to
that. So that only ends as... That, what? So that feeds into, that will feed into our second question. Okay, we'll come back to it. We will not conclude this year without addressing this question. Why does God take the bait? Second Rashi. What? Yes.
We're assuming it's an actual literal conversation.
No, I mean it's obviously a literary conversation. For what?
It's going to the purpose of the Akedah.
Which is?
Of perhaps, I think Abravanel says it, that he's showing the world.
We'll get there.
But that fits in perfectly with that interpretation.
No, it does not. Because if it's a conversation between God and the Satan, then who is the demonstration for?
God and the Satan.
In metaphorically, if it's a conversation in Rashi, it's a conversation.
The Satan are the Umot HaOlam.
I disagree with that strongly. The Satan is not the Umot HaOlam. The Satan is the part of God that wants to bring out something. Kaviyachov. What is there? Is there a Satan either?
Don't we say Satan is the Yetzer Hara?
There's no sky, you know, the Satan is, right.
Oh, right.
So what is the Satan?
The Satan is anything that's mekatreg, I'm sorry, any negative force, any anti.
What is the negative force? What is the negative force?
So I'm suggesting it's the Umar HaOlam.
The nations of the world are the negative force?
Sure, especially in the time of Abraham. He's the first monotheist. He's presenting this method of worship that was completely foreign to anybody who existed at that point. Like, you could hold yourself such a religious man, Abraham, but you have to live out in the middle of nowhere and you try to proselytize to all of us, and yet...
But this is not the conversation in Rashi. The conversation in Rashi between the Hashem and the Satan.
I understand that, but I think it's broader than that. I don't think it's... I think it's a symbolic conversation. I think it's broader.
I agree with your broadening ideologically. I just don't read it in the conversation itself. Let's go on. We have to get to all that.
Does
Rashi
have another explanation because he doesn't believe the first one? Is that all he says?
No. Yes, Achar Dvarav Shal Yishmael. Vayi Achar Dvarim Ha'ilu. It was after these things. Shaya Mitpe'er Al Yitzchak. Shemal ben Yud Gimel Shana v'lo Micha. So Yishmael and Yitzchak are having a conversation. Hey kiddo, you're so tough, right? I had my bris at 13. Try that. I didn't say a word. Dad asked me to do it, and I'm better than you. Look for a second if you have it in Yonatan ben Uziel, because Yonatan ben Uziel brings the Midrashic conversation. It's Aramaic. I'll translate it for you. Vayhi batar pit gamayah alein. It was after these words. Min dinatsu Yitzchak v'Yishmael. There was an argument between Yitzchak and Yishmael. Yishmael hava amar. Yishmael said, Chama lemerut yat Abba. I should merut to inherit Abba. I should inherit. I'm the one that deserves the inheritance of Avraham. Why? De ana brei buchra. I am his bechor. Yitzchak Abba amar aleich, Chama lemerut yat Abba. I am better. I should merut inheritance. This isn't stam conversation. This is a conversation, who inherits? Who's more important? This is the conversation between Jews. No, not Yaakov and Esav here. Yeah. Jews and Arabs. Yitzchak and Yishmael. Anabar Sarah, I'm the son of Sarah. Intete, his wife. The aunt Bar Hagar Amta. And you are the daughter of the
maid.
Okay. Ane Yishmael v'amar. Yishmael answered and said, Ana zakai yatir minach. I'm better than you. I should be more worthwhile. The ana itzari letzleisa shenin. V'ind havetzvote lema'akva lo havin en mesar nafshe li'igzara. V'ant igzart batemana yoman. Ilu havebach mindana dilma lo havin mesar nafshach li'igzara. I was 13. I knew exactly what the decree was. I knew what they were asking me. Dad said, we got to have a little operation. I said, no problem. You were 8 days old. Nobody asked you. Who knows what you would have done if you were my age? Mativ Yitzchak ve'amar. Yitzchak answered and said, Ha nome yomar bat tlatin v'shit shenin. I am now 36 years old. V'ilu ba'ikud shabricho l'kula evarei. And if God would ask for all of my limbs, lo havi me'akev, I wouldn't hold back. And immediately God heard the conversation and said, oh yeah? Okay?
He didn't ask Yitzchak, he asked Abraham.
Right.
That's what it means. That's Rashi. This is the Rashi. Sheyamit pa'era Yitzchak shema ben yugim shema v'lo micha. That he was extolling himself. But it wasn't just extolling himself. They were having an argument about who is worthy, who should inherit the mantle of Abraham Avinu, the nations of the world. Amar li Yitzchak ve'ever achad atam yareini. You're trying to impress me with one limb? It's an important limb, but Ilu amar kadosh baruch hu zevach atzmecha lefanei Eloiti me'akev. I wouldn't hold myself back even if God had asked me for my whole life.
But I'm talking about Avraham.
Yeah.
Avraham says Hineini. So with that midrash, it should say Yitzchak. Should say
what's the story called?
Okay, it's Yitzchak.
Yeah, he doesn't get enough credit.
But well, why does it say it's testing Avraham?
How old is Yitzchak? 37.
It's testing Yitzchak.
37. Yes. Yeah, it was a long conversation. I don't know. It's a good question. this is Rashi. By the way, as we know, we'll tell you, Rashi is bound by the Midrash. He's trying to find the Midrash that will most closely answer our question. What is Achar HaDvarim Ha'ele? The problem with the Midrash is, both Midrashim that we use allude to conversations that
don't appear in the Chumash.
Thank you. Do not appear in the text. Okay. They don't appear in the text. Comes Rashbam and says, baloney. Yeah.
But Rashi says how Yitzhak is being tested, but clearly it says in Chumash.
Besides Abraham. Abraham. Yeah.
So,
which is why he brings it second, but it's such an important theological point that he feels he is.
But why don't we look at the
right.
Pshat?
Comes Rashbam. What's Pshat? Rashi, in Rashi's methodology, Rashi's methodology, you have to remember, before Rashi's time, there was no such thing as Pshat. Everything was explained through the prism of Chazal. So you had, the Chazal offered a number of different options, and Rashi's greatness was his willingness to pick the one that he felt was most closely aligned with the text. And he says this in a number of places.
Why does he bring two here?
Right, no, right. Obviously, yeah. Wanted to highlight two options. Correct.
Because both of them have problems.
Right. Both are problems. Both are critically important messages, I would say. Both are significant. Rashbam says something totally different. What happened before? Achar hadvarim ha'ele. What happened before? Says Rashbam. You have to go back a little bit just to read. Yeah, we're going to read exactly what happened before. Turn back to Chaf Aleph Chaf Bet. In the Pshat. So Rashbam... You have to understand, we base what, like, the greatness of, like, why doesn't everybody say this? But Rashbam innovated based on Rashi. Rashbam was Rashi's grandson. And he said, hey, Grandpa, once you're going to pick the Midrash that's best approximate the text, I'm not bound by the Midrash. I'm going to try to understand my own understanding. It was like we think of course. But the reason we think of course is because there are amazing people like the Rashbam.
He actually records later in Parashat Vayeshev that Rashi says, I wish I had done it your way from the beginning.
Right. Like, do it all over again. Yeah, okay.
He says it. He quotes it.
He says, often my grandfather admitted to me, he said he liked my pshat. But it's like, whoa, I don't know if I would say that. It's a big chiddush. You know what I'm saying?
Rashi,
whatever.
Rashbam's grandfather.
Rashi was Rashbam's grandfather. Okay? I'm back in Chaf Aleph Chaf Bet. What happened? Now we get into geopolitics. What happened? Vayihi, ladies, there's some chairs. There's a green chair right behind. Right around the corner, there's a green chair.
You could sit on the rocking chair.
Okay, yeah, the rocking chair is good too. I'm sorry, Chabet. Vayihi ba'etahi. It was at that time. Vayomer Avimelech uvichol sar tzvaot. Just so you know, by the way, we read this in the first day. This is the reading in the first day of Rosh Hashanah 2. Uvichol sar tzvaot el Avraham lemor. Elohim imach b'chol asher atah oseh. We're going to read it quickly, just to go through the psukim. Avimelech and his fichol sar tzava, his minister of defense, the king of the Plishtim, and his war chief, show up at Abraham's door and they say, Elohim imach b'chol asher telech. V'ata hishava li b'Elohim heina im tishkor li ulinini ulinachdi. Kachesed asher asiti imcha te'asei imadi v'im ha'aretz asher garta ba. I want you to make an oath to me that the kindness that I did for you, you'll do back to me. What do Avimelech and Fichol want in our own vernacular? What do they want? Anybody know? It's very important. What?
Peace.
Peace. They want a peace treaty. I was nice to you. I didn't harm you. By the way, why didn't Avimelech harm Abraham? Anybody just go back in the Chumash? Anybody know? Well, he sort of tried to, and God came in a dream and said, if you do, I'll kill you all. Okay? So, but the kindness that I did to you, I want you to do back to me. Vayomer Avraham, Anochi Isha Veya. Abraham says, you have a deal. But, Behochiach Avraham, this is like so classic. This is so classic. It's like, well, this is great. Behochiach Avraham et Abimelech, Alodot Be'er Hamayim Asher Gazlu Abde Abimelech. And Abraham said, okay, I'll make your deal, but just remember, I have a problem with the fact that your servants stole our water. They stole our Be'er. Vayomer Avimelech. Like this, I think it's one of my favorite psukim in the Torah. Avimelech said, "Lo yadati mi asata davar hazeh." I don't know who did that. V'gam atah lo higadata li. You never told me about it.
The kids all.
Oh my! It's not my fault. It's not my. No, this is like so classic. You never told me. V'gam anochi lo shamati bilti hayom. This is the first time I'm hearing about this. Like this is so like geopolitics. We say to the Arabs, "How could you do this?" What? Nobody told me, and you didn't tell me, and it's all your fault. How could it be? Like, it's like so classic. It's so timeless, this interaction. All right, anyway. And they make the brit, v'yichatu p'skip talamid bet, v'yichatu bit b'be'er sheva. They made the out in Be'er Sheva. V'yakam avimelech v'yichar tzao tzva'o, v'yishuvu el eretz b'shti. And they went home. Peace treaty. Li ulinini ulinechdi. Me and my children and my grandchildren. Great-grandchildren. In fact, ad kidekach, that they put up, the Midrash says that they put up this, they put up like a monument. And so the Midrash says that when the Jewish people wanted to attack and overcome the Plishtim, his great-great-grandchildren, they had to first, there's a Midrash about that, that the Jewish army first had to knock down this, had to destroy this monument in order to break, as it were, the covenant that Avraham Avinu made. Because otherwise, how can you attack? We're tied by this covenant. Wait, Rashbam. Look at Rashbam, Achar Hadvarim Ha'elem. Says the Rashbam, "Kol I'm on Aleph. Kol makom shne'emar achar hadvarim ha'ele mechubar el parsha lemala." Grandpa is nice. It's very good. Crazy stories. No, it's connected to what happened before, and I'll prove it to you in the text.
But he makes it like a cloud.
Yeah, it is a cloud. Achar hadvarim ha'ele. For example, it says in pasuk perek tedvav, "Shaharag Avraham et amalachim, amar lo hakadosh baruch hu al tira Avraham in ha'umot." Right after. Right, Abraham had this big war. God comes to him and says, "Don't be afraid." Vayihi achar hadvarim ha'ele. Right after this, later on in this parak, shenolag Yitzchak. I'm sorry, when Yitzchak was born, vayugad laAvraham od, etc., etc. V'chein. Furthermore, blah 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 blah. Afkan, skipping a couple lines. Afkan, here too. Achar hadvarim ha'ele, shekarat Abraham beat laAvimelech. That Abraham made a covenant. Lo ulinino ulechto shel Abraham. That Avraham made a deal for Avimelech and his children and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren. V'natan lo sheva kivsot hatzon. And he gave him 7 sheep. Like they made a deal. They made a covenant. They made an oath. Chara'a poshal kadosh baruch hu azot. God became incensed on this matter. Sharei eretz plishtim bichlal gvul eretz Yisrael. The land of the plishtim, that's the gvul. Those are in the boundaries that God promised to eretz Yisrael. And God obeyed him. He made a commandment. Do not allow those nations to remain. Do not allow them to live. Also in the times of the Yehoshua, they had to make a lottery. They drew lots. God nisa et Avraham. What is the meaning of the word nisa? Kinatro vitziaro. Translate.
He gave him a
nisayon. Lekanter. Lekanter. Lekanter means he hacked him. Tzaro.
He gave him
tzaros. Nisa. He punished him. No, from Nais. That this is not. This is Rashbam.
When I said nisayon, I meant not a test nisayon. Well, obviously, go back to Elohim Nisad Abraham. Talk about Eretz Yisrael, you know, about nisyonot, like, these are my nisyonot.
So this is
talk about it, let me finish. When you talk about it in regular language, you're talking about difficulties.
And nisayon is a tzaros. Okay, but he's clearly saying that. Nisa, from the context of punishment. Tzaros. That's right. I'm skipping.
Is it that he made peace, or that he went against Hashem?
That's what he says. Kolomar, as if to say, "Nitgaeta beben shenatati lecha." Are you so ben gaava, full of yourself, with this child that I gave you, lichrot brit beneichem uven beneihem, to make a covenant between you and their children? V'ata lich v'haalehu leola. Go kill that child. Offer him as an offering. Urei maho ila kritut brit shelcha. And let's see how good your covenant is. Meaning the Rashbam is saying the following. Abraham's act of making a peace treaty with Abimelech is an incredible lack of emunah. Because Abraham, why do you make a peace treaty for yourself and your children, your grandchildren? Because Abraham says, I need to create peace for my children. If my son is going to live here, I need to create peace for my children. Comes down God and says, whoa. I promised you Eretz Canaan. I promised you Eretz Israel. You don't have enough faith in me that I'll take care of it? You have to take care of it? You have to make sure through your own means? go offer your son as an olah, and we'll see what how much faith you really have. Do you really believe and you trust in me that I promise, that I'll fulfill what I promise? Then go do that first. And then we'll worry about Eretz Canaan later on. Take whatever geopolitical lessons you want. That's heavy.
That doesn't have a need to do his
ishtablis. Oh, it doesn't have a need to do his ishtablis. What's the... The answer is, if you're Avraham Avinu... What?
No, he said he said this is not the right Hashem.
Because
Hashem told him,
I promise you this land, and I will give you this land.
Says the Rashbam, and he's supposed to know that much. God promises the land. If you make peace, that means that, here's the problem. It's not to make peace. There's two kinds of peace. We have peace with the Egyptians. The peace with the Egyptians is, I stay on my side, and you stay on your side, and everybody's happy.
And then there's peace with the 67 borders.
Right. Correct. You understand? That's correct. Right, exactly. Those are the two kinds of peace. Peace with the Egyptians, great. We're all very happy with that kind of peace. Okay, we have to get back to Sinai. Is that really part of Eretz Yisrael? Interesting question. When you have to, if the peace involves we all stay together, kumbaya, everyone gets along. Remember how we said at the very beginning, when you stay in a place, it affects you, sometimes in a very positive way. There's no such thing as being intertwined with people and not being affected by them. No such thing. You just made a deal with the plishtim. You just yourself said, "En yirat Elohim po." You know who these people are. And these are the people you want growing up with your children? Where's the emunah? Like you said, you have to make your hishtablis. At what cost? Would you make your hishtablis at the cost of your spiritual future? Now go offer him as an olah.
Who are the plishtim?
The
people living in Eretz
Yisrael. Eretz, you know where Eretz plishtim is? Right. You're sitting here. Right here. Mamash. Eretz plishtim. And that's where Avraham was. He was Beersheba. How far is Beersheba from here?
An hour south.
Yeah, it's right here. That's where Avraham was. He lived in Eretz plishtim. So you should say, God promised it to me. It can't be both.
Where Hashem said, of course, Rashi presents Hashem saying, I created the land, I gave it to the Plishtim, I will take it from the Plishtim and I will give it to you.
That's the first Rashi in the Torah.
That's first Rashi. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. This fits in.
Very much. With Rashi's, it's interesting.
Rashi's belt on.
It's interesting, Rashi, this theme exists, right, in, well, this is Rashbam, it's not Rashi.
I know, but, you know.
Why didn't, well.
Staying in the family.
Yeah, staying in the family. Okay. A few more perushim of Nisa. What does it mean, Nisa? So there's a long Ibn Ezra that you should see. Very interesting Ibn Ezra. Fascinating. Because Ibn Ezra, if you normally look at Ibn Ezra is two words, three words. Ibn Ezra, like Rashbam, is known as a Pashtan. Okay? A Pashtan meaning literally, literal meaning of the text, the shot. Okay? Problem is, in this Ibn Ezra, you notice how long it is? Elohim Nisa'at Avraham?
Yeah, it's long. It's long.
So you have to read it. Because he says he's going to give us six interpretations of the word Nisa. Six. List them all here. Okay? Which is unusual. In order to answer our fundamental question, which is, how can God test Avraham if he already knows the answer? And now we come into a much more personal meaning. V'Elohim Nisa'at Avraham. Number one. Yesh Omer. Some say, Ki hasamech tachat shin, v'hahe tachat ha'alef. So Nisa, somebody pen? Nisa? No? Let it go.
Forget it.
It's instead of Nun Samech He, it's Nun Sin Aleph. Naso. Naso, to raise up. God, right? Okay, thank you. Nisa, Nun Samech Aleph. Okay? Nun Samech Aleph. Naso, lift up. God raised up. That God elevated Abraham. I wouldn't have said it, but clever. Okay. V'tam kol ha'parsha yachishen. He says, but anybody who reads the parsha will say that, see, that's not true. Wrong. Rak nisa kimashma'o. L'nasot from nun samechei.
What if you start changing letters anyway?
Yeah, right, exactly. Ibn Ezra's like, no, sorry, wrong. V'anshei shikul hadat. How do you translate anshei shikul hadat? The rationalists. The rationalists say, ki amru ki hadeot hem shtayim. There's two types of knowledge. Ha'achat da'at ha'atid b'terem heyoto. One is knowledge of the future before it happens. Ba'ashenit da'at ha'yesh nimza. And there's another kind of knowledge of the present here and now. V'zeh pirush nisa. What is God? God knows the present. I don't even know how to say this even. And he knows the future, but there's like some break between the present and the future. Kigam at, if that's what it means, pirush nisa. Kigam atayadati. Because in the end, it does say, at the end of the Akedah, God comes to Abraham and says, atayadati, now I know. I didn't know. So they say that really God doesn't know the future.
Or he chooses not.
He chooses not to know the future.
He chooses not to look.
That's more free choice. Our free choice.
Look in the Rambam Hilchot Teshuvah. We're not going to go into free choice today. I was thinking about it. We did it last week. The Gaon Amar, right? The Gaon said, Shemilat Nisa, the word Nisa, this Gaon here is the Rambam, refers to the Rambam. Heiraot Tzidkato Livnei Adam. It's in order to show Abraham's righteousness to Bnei Adam, to human beings. Everyone will know how great Abraham is. Gam milat yadati, later on it says, Ata yadati, now I know. He reads it, no, kitam hodati, I have made known. There's only one problem with that. What's the problem with that? There's two problems, he says. Vahalo, yadazi ha-gaon, but this gaon knows, ki b'sha'asha akad b'no, lahi b'sham afilin arab. Nobody else was there. So if the whole point was to make a show for the rest of the world, the rest of humanity, why would you have him do it in the privacy of his own mountain? Number four. V'acherim amru, some say, ki perush v'ha'aleihu sham le'ola, shia'aleihu el ha'har. What does God want? Not le'ola, offer him as a sacrifice. Take him up on the mountain. I want you to show him the mountain. And that would be considered as a sacrifice. V'Avraham lo yada so navu. And Avraham misunderstood the email. He didn't really understand because you can't really read tone into it. V'yimaher lishchot oto. And Avraham said, oh, gotta slaughter my son. And God was like, no, I didn't mean that. But because Avraham did it, it showed his great faith, his great yearning.
This is just one of his ideas?
Lo Acherim, some others. I don't know who quotes this. Does he say who says it? Look at the footnotes. That's a crazy one. Vashem Amar lo, lo bikashti zot. Hey, whoa. I never asked you to do that. Thank you. Okay, and Ibn Ezra doesn't even bother justifying that one. Okay, no, we're not going to do that. Okay. I'm skipping the next one because I didn't understand it.
Rashi
says that. Okay. Okay. I'm skipping number five because I didn't understand it. You can help me with it. These ga'onim needed these interpretations. Ki omru, because they say, lo yitachein chashi tzaveh Hashem mitzvah shiomar achar kach shelo te'asena. How could God give a commandment and then change his mind? If Hashem wants him to offer Yitzchak as a sacrifice, why then didn't he let him go through with it? Don't do it. Oh, I changed my mind. Now I know. Oh, wait, now I know.
It seems to me that everything's been happening on two different levels, the individual and the national.
What's that? You're changing subjects. Let's skip.
The
achar shakatub omer.
This is a God of Rahim and Din, so we can change. Did you just skip?
I skipped on. Yeah.
It's kind of an important line.
Why? God does change his mind. God does change his mind. He says the key line of this whole thing is God nisa et Avraham. Saru kolatano. No problem. Sham v'Hashem nisahu kidei shikabel sachar. There's two reasons to test someone. Number one reason to test someone is, I test you because I don't know what the results are. There's a much greater reason to test someone. I test you, I know what you're going to do. Do you know what you're going to do? I test you, I bring you adversity in order to make you realize your potential. to lift you up, Nisat Abraham, to bring out the best that's inside of you. This is what Ibn Ezra says. This theme is developed in Ramban even more. Look at Ramban for a second. Ramban says the same thing, and the Sforno. Says Ramban, V'hai Elohim Nisat Abraham Inyan Nisayon Hu Lida'ati. This Nisayon is Ba'avor Hayot Ma'aseh Adam Rishut Mukhletet Biyado. Man has free choice. Im Yirtseh Ya'aseh. He wants to do it, he will do it. V'imlo Yirtseh Lo Ya'aseh. Yikra Nisayon Mitzad HaMenusa. The test is from the perspective of the tested. Aval HaMenaseh Yitbarach Yitzaveh Bo. But the tester commands him to do it. To bring something from, in physics terms, potential energy to, what's the other one? What? Latent energy? Thank you. So you'll have the actions of ma'asetov, lo sachar lev tov bilvad. There's a critical line. To give him the reward for the action, and not just the reward for a good heart. A good heart is nice. Oh, I was going to call you. I wanted to call you. Yeah, there's only one problem.
I keep feeling I'm inviting you.
Yeah, no.
But there is something to be said.
There is, that's exactly what Ramban agrees. There's something to be said. But there's a world of difference between I wanted to call you, and I meant to call you,
but I didn't.
And I called you. There's a world of difference. And this is a critical difference.
Really
the potential. What?
This is the
potential. The Akedah is so meaningful to us. This is what I mean by to each of us. Because we have so many good intentions. I meant to do this. I've been wanting to do this. I've had this idea, this project, this goal, this desire. New. And at some point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tests us and says, there's so much good inside of you. Let's bring it out. And the way we do this is through Nisayon, through test. There's so much faith in us. There's so much emuna in us. And sometimes the things that we face as a people and as a nation are exactly that. This Nisayon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oh, come on, I got to drag it out of you, kicking and screaming. Even Avraham Avinu, he's this unbelievable person. I see he has total emuna, has total faith. But unless I have to force it out of him, because otherwise there's no way to get that from the koach to the poah without literally dragging it out of him. Without that nisayon. Yeah, Nikki. You can't know. You're
the Abraham, you know,
exactly.
Not the point tonight, Abraham. He's a different Abraham to the Abraham that he was, only because he knows both.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's how I started with that article. The trials that we overcome, that we face, and we overcome, they make us different people. And nobody wants the trial.
Yeah. After that, anyway, did I go to war with the fish?
What?
After that, did I go to
war
with the fish?
No. No, he made a breach. He's stuck with it. Once you make a breach, you're stuck with it. You made an oath. Right? That's not that problem will have to be dealt with. According to Rashbam, that problem will have to be dealt with later. The core problem isn't the breach itself. It's the doubt that allowed the breach to happen. When Avimelech came, Abraham should have said, this is my land. Sound familiar? This is the land that God promised to us. This is our land. I'm not making a breach to give you this land. If and when God wants me to have it, I will have it. And until then, we'll maintain the status quo. Sound familiar?
No.
Yeah.
Wasn't
Abraham
tested 10 times?
Yes, according to Midrash.
Okay, so the first one is
the first one is literally the fire.
Is that the first one?
According to many Midrashim, it's a fiery furnace.
Okay, so in any case, does Nisa show up and I'll tell
them? No,
Nisa?
No.
So what makes this one?
It's the last one and the best one. Last one and the greatest one. Not the greatest one? No, I think pretty much the
same. It's not the last one.
What's the last one, meaning marrying off his child?
No, the last one was buying a pet of the land to bury his wife.
But didn't everybody agree this is like the most important one, the hardest one?
Because it's Hanisayon.
Hanisayon. I have to end off. I know we're out of time, but we started a couple minutes late. I have to end off with he brings down Rav Nachshoni. He brings down the words of the Chatam Sofer. Why did Akedat Yitzchak become so central, so much a part of Jewish liturgy that we talked about it? It's the ideology is wonderful, but it's more. It's got to be more than that. It somehow Akedat Yitzchak resonated with Jewish people. We use Akedat Yitzchak in order to express something. We use liturgy. We use the examples. We use our history in order to express something that we somehow don't have the ability to express ourselves. And the answer he uses is Akedat Yitzchak had became the symbol for Jewish suffering throughout history. The willingness of Jews to sacrifice themselves for the sake of God.
That's Yitzchak.
Well,
it's called
Akedat Yitzchak.
No, but I'm saying that the suffering is Yitzchak. Well, Abraham as well.
Abraham and Yitzchak. Yeah. Abraham and Yitzchak. The Fi'ani Yodat Jesus. Says the Ba'al Chatam Sofer. Rabbi Moshe Sofer. Lived where? Rabbi Moshe Sofer. Rabbi Chatam Sofer lived where? Anybody know? You can Wikipedia it. I'm pretty sure he lived in Germany. Chatam Sofer. Wikipedia, you'll tell us in a second. So I'm going back for reasons that are my own, trying to do a little bit of a survey of Jewish history, especially in Europe, late Europe, in Eastern European Jewish history. And I can sum up Eastern European Jewish history by saying Jewish life stank. It was literally terrible. Right? You could only live in certain places, you couldn't only work in certain places, and as soon as the Jews got just enough money to eke by, came along the Tsar or the Emperor or the whatever and said, oh, you've got to pay me more money. Right? You know, we focus on the 1%, yeah? 1762. Frankfurt, Germany, 1762. He didn't live in Frankfurt. He lived in the ghetto in Frankfurt. Right. Why he moved from Frankfurt to Slovakia. He lived in the ghetto in Frankfurt. They didn't allow the Jews to live in Frankfurt like they would today. Jewish life stank. It just did. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And we sometimes, thank God, we live without the memory of that. And I often see, when I say slichot, you know, when you say slichot, I'm cognizant of this. In the end of slichot, we just say, one second. When you say dima, one second. We say it in Tachanun, but we say it in so many ways. He wrote, "Son ro'en eman hayale cherpa." The sheep of your people, we are a cherpa, a busha. Yisrael goy echad mashal u'shnina. You were this great nation, and now we're an example. Shnina, nothing. Maher aneinu Elohei Yisrael b'deinu mikol gzeirot kashot. We said slichot because life stank, because life was terrible. Says the Chatam Sofer, "Lefi ani yodati." In my humble opinion, lo et Avraham Yitzchak nisa im yamdu b'tzid katam. God didn't only test Avraham Yitzchak. Ki im lanaso ta'uma ha'gedosha ha'atida letzei temenu. It was a test of all of us. That akedah was the test not then, it was a test here and now. B'tchila nisa ha'kadosh baruch hu et avotenu b'italcha min goy el goy. First, God tested Avraham, making him go wander around. Yotam shorosh libnehem. So this should be the root for their children. Shiyuchlu lisbol tzarot. That they should be able to just bear tzaros. Veshuv ba'achrona, in the end, nisaim yamdu b'harigot u'shmadot al kiddush Hashem. He tested them through shmadot, murder and oppression. Shmad. Decimation. Acharei shezikeu Hashem beben yachid gadlo la'mezayin shanim. He had a child. He grew up. Yitzchak, I'm already seeing potential. He's going to be great. Masor l'shchita. Now slaughter him. V'zeh yesharesh libnehem achareihem shesovlim zeh. 1720. 1750 he wrote this. Acharei shehayu elyon. After they were exalted. Nimsiru rachmana litzlan l'shevi. Bizar. Hereg ve'abdon. We mention Akedat Yitzchak in the Musaf. Every Jew that was living in the Pale of the Settlement, or Prague, in the ghetto in Prague, or Frankfurt, God only knows where, Bavel, wherever it was, they said these words, they didn't think about Avraham Avinu. They said, why are we suffering? And for us, when we say, remember Akedat Yitzchak, we have to remember that when the Iranians say, if America attacks Syria, we'll attack Israel. What? Finally, we never said anything. We didn't do anything. No. Zemayesh. You picked us, and we accept it. We accepted it then, and we accept it now. That's why Akedat Yitzchak is so primary in the tefillah. Because we do accept it. We accept it for a reason, and we accept it for a purpose. So Be'ezrat Hashem, Zichronot should be Zichronot Tovot Lefanecha. The tefillot that are being pulled out of us on Rosh Hashanah should go to their proper place, if make sake for do. And we should have a good and positive year. And the things that we pray for should be answered for ourselves and our families and for Am Yisrael. And we should live to merit, to live up to the example of Avraham Avinu. We accept the sacrifice, but because we call it in the name of Hashem. Have a good year.